Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people who hate reading. This week was Ryan's pick, so he picked The Rocker with Rainn Wilson, and we're doing Season 1, Episode 1 of the 1967 version of Dragnet. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Here's the description of The Rocker. The Rocker tells the story of a failed drummer who was given a second chance at fame.
So since John decided to boycott this film,
I'm gonna was insane this weekend. So
whatever.
That's the reason I picked it.
I know it was, but I still watched it just so at least two of us know what's going on. I gotta say, Rainn Wilson is the fattest drummer I've ever seen. I mean,
are we talking about body type or head?
Just everything. I mean, he must not put that much effort into it, or he'd actually lose weight. I mean, it was a nice little touch that he was sweating like a fat Irish man with all the hair.
But that's any drummer. Look at Lars Ulrich. After a couple of sets, the dude looks like he needs a, you know, just to come back.
But I mean, like Rainn Wilson, like, is just jiggled with every hit. But I mean, I gotta say though, he did pretty well on hitting the right drum and cymbals with the, you know, the kind of synchroning of the false drum playing.
So it wasn't actually him playing, you don't think?
No, no. There was a couple times he hit the wrong one, and I'm like, that was a tom, that wasn't a snare. Stop it. Stop it. God damn it. Fat bastard, learn what you're hitting.
So it's like Danny Bonaducci strumming a bass?
Yeah, but I do gotta say,
well, you know, it's much easier to fake that than it is to fake drums. You don't know how to play a bass, you don't notice somebody messing it up. You don't have to know how to play the drums to be like, wait a second, that wasn't right.
Yeah, I gotta say though, when he after he had lost to the wannabe AC/DC band, he wasn't part of them anymore, and he went with the One Direction band. I was actually impressed because it was like when he started playing, it was like every sound man in the world probably related to that on chill the fuck out on to what? Every fucking drummer I've ever met. Ryan, you're not the exception.
You mean they're hitting too hard?
Yeah, they're just playing way too loud and way too crazy when they first start. It's just
that was always my problem.
That's exactly what happens.
I'm not surprised by that, actually.
Now, Ryan, since John didn't watch this, did you find it weird seeing Christina Applegate playing a mom?
You know what?
She grew on me.
Because she totally sold me on the role. It took a minute because, I'm definitely not used to her as that type, but I loved her as that character.
But yeah, she grew on you after a while.
But that's your own age bias.
Though. Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was a couple of moments in this because I was really not expecting to like this movie when I first saw it. I was expecting to, because especially as a drummer, like, oh, I'm going to hate this fucking thing. Because I'm not, at the time I was kind of a take it or leave it sort of Rainn Wilson person. Don't hate him. Didn't necessarily love everything that he does. I definitely like The Office, but you know, his character is a real false, interesting one. But there was a couple of moments. The first one when he's chasing him down in the van.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is funny. This is already funny.
Ryan
gets up goes outside he goes outside just to unplug the drum machine.
Yeah, that was actually pretty fun.
I was like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, I respect this movie now. And so, then it was just enjoyment. I was actually really surprised.
So, James, what's your initial rating?
That's a 3.5.
Ryan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to compare it to anything, the closest thing you can come to is Jack Black in School of Rock. And this one's way better than that.
Right.
So way better than that.
I have a question, Ryan. You've seen that movie, That Thing You Do, right?
Of course.
How do you compare the drumming to that, to this one? Because School of Rock is one, but, you know, the drummer is not really the main part of the story. Yeah. Versus That Thing You Do, he is, like, pretty much the main character, besides Liv Tyler.
So I don't understand the question. How do I compare the styles or
just like how they
the
play
portrayal it. Of the drummers in the movie?
Yeah, like how they matched playing, you know, stuff like that.
What's his name? I can't think of his.
He played
bloody
name. The drummer
played Guy
in the movie. I don't know his real name.
Well, yeah, I know. I remember his character name. I don't remember his real name, which is sad because he's a really good actor. It'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, he was playing the drums.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was, it's obviously bonus points right there. You know, it's the fact that this type of movie would even take the time to try to match up what's going on is impressive, because I think they realize, like, okay, for this to be a viable visual, we have to pay attention to this because we're going to be focusing on the drummer quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to say, I mean, there was only like maybe two times at best that I could recognize that he was off, and it wasn't enough to really take you out of the moment.
So why would they focus? Why do you think they would do so well to try to match you? Because this is a comedy. I mean, granted, it doesn't say slapstick, but on a comedy,
because it will throw you off, though. That's what I was saying, because it's so visual. Like, you can play the wrong notes on a bass and no one's going to notice.
Yeah, like Emma
but
Stone.
But if your hand hits a cymbal and there's no cymbal sound there, everyone knows what a cymbal sounds like.
Yeah, that's true. It'll definitely probably take you...
It's not like they're not looking at it like, wait, that wasn't a C sharp.
The only time I've ever noticed a bass or guitar going wrong, bass specifically, is you watch somebody strum it. You don't strum a bass.
Well, I think the big moment of why they put so much effort into trying to sync it up as well is because the big reveal at the end of the movie was that the band that he was previously with were doing lip syncing the entire way. So I think that's the only thing I could think of, is because they were trying to make that seem like such a big deal, which it kind of is, but...
Now, only if you get Mark Wahlberg and this guy together, you could have that, like, Mark Wahlberg wannabe 80s metal movie and this movie combined.
Wasn't it The Rocker 2?
I don't remember.
Wasn't that the name of the one that Marky Mark did, Ryan?
I don't think that was the...
Which one?
The one where he was playing the he was 80s hair band guy?
Yeah, he had long hair.
Oh, Rockstar.
Rockstar, that's it. Okay. I know it was Rockstar, something like that. You know, there were a few nice touches in this as a sound man did that for almost like 20 years. There was a few nice touches in the whole thing. Like, I was kind of a little bit annoyed that he did the test mic check thing. Every sound man's heard that at least 30 times.
Yes, but this is a comedy, so obviously you got to do
yeah.
So that was kind of a nice little throw in. And, horrible sound man at their first actually hired gig. That dude needed to be fired since all the feedback when they started. That was just ridiculous. That sound man's a piece of shit.
But they did that on purpose?
I think they did, because it kind of gave a little bit of his knowledge of like, oh, this just happens. We just got to get it back together.
Yeah.
You know, type thing. So that was kind of cute. But
I mean, you should expect, I don't know, that would have been expected to me, especially if you're playing in one of these small places. Very rarely do you see like a dive bar have any quality of sound man. I've seen a couple, but not a lot from my experience.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so James, back me up on this one.
Go ahead.
Back me up on this one, man, because since Journey didn't watch this shit, this was definitely not his weird, creepy character that he usually plays.
No, this wasn't. Well, there was a couple moments where it was...
he's obnoxious in a couple of moments, but for this particular character's type of... No, it's not. And, you know, like I said, he's obnoxious a couple of moments, but not... It all plays with this particular character, and this character is actually played pretty good as just this old rocker who is like, well, I'm a great drummer, but these guys didn't recognize it, and he's got this big, giant chip on his shoulder.
So how close was his character in the style of acting, was it to Super? Was it the same style?
No, because
Super,
I
didn't find
Super,
no, not even, not even, not even close.
In Super, he played a shy, awkward person.
See, but I didn't see Super... is awkward comedy, though, as some of his other stuff, though. I mean, the character was awkward, but it wasn't like Napoleon Dynamite
I would
comedy.
Say his...
No, it's not. It's not cringe comedy, you know?
I was going to say, it's his kind of awkward, shy character with kind of funny circumstance around him.
Okay.
And Super, this one was more of... more of an outgoing character than I've ever seen him in, because
So what do you...
He was kind of relatable to most, to quite a few people, except for his sister and the...
So what do you give it? I mean, what's your final rating? You going to stick with the 3.5?
Yeah, I think I'm leaving it there. I mean, like, it's not as horrible as most comedies, so it gets a little bit of a bump since it's better than quite a few that I've seen in the past 20 years.
Ryan, what do you give it? 3.5? 4?
Yeah, no, it was surprising how much actual soul this movie had to it. Yeah. You know? It actually told a good story. I was expecting just kind of some dumb comedy, you know, and was very pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's obviously got its flaws. So 3.5, but yeah, such a fun movie.
So the question on the fact that obviously I'm not a giant fan of comedy, do you guys think I would enjoy it? I'm just comedy wise. I mean, I can, if I like it at all, I can forgive.
I think you would enjoy it if you're watching it with your wife.
I have to give that a shot if I can force her to watch a Rainn Wilson movie.
Well, she likes... Well, and it's some chick flick comedies that
she likes comedies more than I do. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So if you're with your wife, then you can actually both enjoy some of the moments instead of you sitting there playing your video game.
But in all defense, it doesn't take much to be a fan of comedy more than I am.
That's kind of what I'm... Yeah. I mean, does she love Blazing Saddles?
I think so. But
how do you not know if your wife has seen Blazing Saddles?
I'm really tired. I don't know. I know she's seen it. I don't know if she enjoys it as much as I do. I know more guys that love that movie than women.
I mean, that's like a fail of growing up not to have seen Blazing Saddles.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a face.
Talk with their parents.
Ladies and gentlemen,
get them on the phone.
No.
Do you have their number?
Nope.
Oh, good man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
are we going to have to have like an intervention?
I think we might. We have to like get up and smoke, still smoking next movie, throw some Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't like some of those movies named. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Do you love us, hate us? It's facebook.com/realflixreviews. And you can also hear us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and
we
more.
We also do Inglourious Basterds.
And she likes that movie. And I picked season 1, episode 1 of the 1967 version of Dragnet for one reason. I have said throughout the 5 years we've been doing this how TV shows are a product of their time. In 1967, there were two shows in particular that proved my point. One is Hawaii Five-0, which lasted up until the early 80s, which started the same year as this show, which was Dragnet 1967, which didn't go past 1970. This episode it's the LSD story or something like that. Basically, it's the introduction of LSD into Los Angeles during the 60s and the fallout from it.
Thank you, Timothy Leary.
And one of the reasons I thought this was hilarious, because if you know anything about drugs, in the beginning episode, you see them handle LSD in sugar cubes, barehanded. The way you'd be tripping, especially if you're sweating at all. I love the fact how anti-everything this is, and even then, it's still wrong in some of the stuff they give you.
So there were memes that came out when California was getting on the point of legalizing pot, and there was one in there that said, not take marijuana. I never heard that term before seeing them in the memes, but that was actually used in this episode. The guy said, it's not as bad as if my kid's doing heroin or taking a marijuana. And I'm just kind of like a little bit like baffled by that. Like, how do you take a marijuana? And then they were saying that they were, I'm trying to remember the exact terminology, but it was very awkward of how they were smoking weed. They were saying they were like inhaling weed is how they, I think they used the word inhaling instead of smoking or... It was very awkward. And then I want to bring up this fact because they say that the story is true. No one, and I mean no one, ever has died off of taking LSD alone. They have overdosed and fried their brains, but they have not been killed
but
by
you noticed,
alone.
You noticed, spoiler alert, but the show's as old as it is. What basically the reason why they said the guy overdosed was because all the pills he was taking.
Well, they weren't just pills though; they were pills of LSD.
Here it is. Here's the quote I wanted to say. This quote's not on this episode, but to prove how 60s this is. This is from Sergeant Joe Friday. It said, marijuana is the flame, heroin is the fuse, LSD is the bomb. And I love this because if you look at it during the counterculture, that was all the stuff that was popular. During the 70s, it grew more popular up until the day where marijuana is pretty much legal everywhere, maybe a few places.
And it's like the baby drug.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is my theory why it was 67 to, 1970, right?
Yeah, that's as far as it went.
Yeah, 67, you can probably still consider the whole peace and love and a little bit more free expression and free drug use, things like that, as counterculture. By 1969, it's inaccurate to call it counterculture anymore. It was culture.
I also think at that point in time, people became addicted to what they're taking. Towards the 70s, it became more burnouts and just druggies instead of people experimenting, from what I've heard and read.
Basically, by the time that you get your adolescents coming up, starting to watch TV, which is primarily who watches TV, you know, this is like your dad's kind of stuff, and you didn't want to listen to your dad preach to you about how bad weed is.
True. I mean, this is one of the reasons I love this. I love Dragnet to begin with, but I love the comparison of this to Hawaii 5-0, because if you watch the original Hawaii 5-0. It was very forward-looking, from how they were dressed to the production style to the stories they were telling, whereas this is very – Brian's 100% right. This is very – this is your dad's story versus Dragnet – Hawaii 5-0 is this is for the youth and you're having fun and, you know, I just love this comparison.
Yeah, Hawaii 5-0 kind of saw where the ball was going.
Yeah,
and got underneath it. You know,
these are the two shows I usually tell people watch just to see, because during that time there was this show showed the transition between I think target audiences, because this show didn't last past the 70s. They tried rebooting it a couple of times, really never survived after Jack Webb.
But I mean there was quite
you're conservative.
What was that, Ryan?
The more conservative, I was going to say, the more conservative crowds, you know, were the one who kind of watched this stuff, you know, World War II vets, you know, and things like that. Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
This show is hilarious, though. It's entertaining and it's hilarious for multiple reasons. This is one of my favorite episodes just because how over the top it is. I've known people who have done a lot of LSD. I've never seen one of them painted up like that.
I know. Ever. I mean, just
unless you're going to a rave, and that's something completely different.
Yeah, there. Even the scene where they went to bust up the house party.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
the dude's eating paint.
Yeah, the dude's eating paint. There's some chick like trying to climb up the wall. There's another chick kind of dancing. Like, you ain't gonna search me, officer.
My favorite part of that whole scene is the joints. And every time I see that joint, those are the thinnest joints ever.
Yeah, I mean, that was all the party stuff. There was like four joints and like five supposed. I have never seen acid put in a capsule, just to put that out there. Somebody opened the capsule, dropped some LSD in it, and then
somehow managed
sealed it back up.
Somehow managed to keep all the stuff inside
60s.
Of it.
They're not going to take that much time. Even when they say, okay, I'm getting on a tangent here. They said that they put it on the back of stamps and had people licking the stamps. That's how you do LSD.
Wow.
You put it on a piece of paper.
Even that.
Welcome.
I was going to say, get some wax paper and an eyedropper.
Welcome to This Week in Drugs.
Yeah, I just go off on this entire episode.
That's the reason why I picked it, just because this is the perfect episode to
talk
about.
Well, you know what? Hold on a second. This is exactly why, like, the D.A.R.E. program was bullshit when I was growing up, okay? Because they would tell you, these things are the worst things ever. The weed is going to lead you to being a junkie on the street. And then you smoke pot when you're a teenager, and you're like, you lying sons of bitches.
The funniest part about the D.A.R.E. program, from the people I used to hang out with, I know people that started doing drugs because of D.A.R.E. more than they have ever known anybody who didn't do it.
Did you ever know about TIP?
Well,
hold on.
I haven't, but we're going to continue this conversation off the air.
Oh, come on. This is why we want to do it.
We might talk about this a little later. And a little interesting news, because I wonder why. Jamie Lee Curtis to return for the new Halloween movie. If this is true, that character has the worst possible Scream Queen.
But
she has that character has the worst possible luck if you're getting chased by that guy nonstop your entire life.
Okay. See, when you say chase, that means he's running. No, he is following at a distance.
No, he's stalking her, really.
He's walking.
This is very silly. If this is true, this movie realistically would be 10 minutes long. It would be Michael Myers getting to wherever Jamie Lee Curtis is and the claymore going off in his face because there's no way she's not that paranoid.
Right? At this point, she's a master of, basically she's Steven Seagal with boobs.
She is the Viet Cong, I guarantee it, with spike traps in front of her front door and shit.
That's why I laughed. I had to share this because it made
Rob
me laugh.
If Rob Zombie's the director, I'll watch it.
Well, just because
that's all I gotta say.
So in another piece of news, actually had Jamie Lee Curtis was in the movie. True Lies TV adaption is in the works. Now this is something I've heard off and on for quite a while.
This makes me so sad. Is the Arnold the star?
I probably not. Honestly,
this is gonna be a network TV like the fucking Lethal Weapon series that's out right now.
I refuse to watch that because I just
what Stephen King did with the Shining.
You want to get sued, boy?
Right.
I knew one of you guys was gonna say it.
It wasn't gonna be Ryan. He screwed it last time.
Because
I wasn't gonna say it because he didn't say The Shining.
Well, yeah, true. See, he's got it.
that was your cue to say you want to get sued.
Anyways, but I mean, when Stephen King threw his hissy fit and made the remake made for TV Hallmark Channel, The Shining, that was like, that's what I see happening with the True Lies. And what did you say the other one was, Ryan?
Lethal Weapon.
That's the one I was thinking of. Some reason I had Die Hard.
Well, it's because they're going to strip away everything that made that movie awesome.
Exactly.
I don't think they could make... So this is my honest opinion. Certain movies are really products of their time. That movie was the perfect product of the time because of the actors. You've got Tom Arnold, who I generally don't like, but he was great in this movie. This was the movie that actually started me looking at Tom Arnold again instead of really thinking the dude is just a putz. You've got Jamie Lee Curtis. You've got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jet Lees that were fun.
You cannot reproduce this movie without the original actors and have it any good. It's because the chemistry between everybody was so well. It worked great.
That movie and the same thing with Lethal Weapon, those movies are the characters.
Oh yeah.
You know? Like you can have other people call themselves, you know, Martin Riggs and Murtaugh, but it's not Danny Glover and Mel Gibson. It's not Tom Arnold and Schwarzenegger, you know?
I would specifically say on Lethal Weapon would be hard, because I'm a big fan of the original, is that had such a high mark and those two out of any actors I've seen had amazing chemistry together.
Yeah.
I wish they would stop. I mean, this is basically a cash grab.
I would say,
go for a couple of seasons and...
I'd say Mel Gibson and Danny Glover had a way better chemistry than... Oh my God!
Tom Arnold?
No, not Tom Arnold and Arnold. I was going to bring up the Samuel Jackson and Mel Gibson. I enjoyed the ones with Bruce Willis a lot more than I did the other ones.
Yeah,
you know.
We do have a death that I just heard about. Harry Dean Stanton died just last week sometime. I guarantee you know who he is. Look him up. He's been in a lot of movies, and he has extremely distinct look. I was really bummed by this.
Yeah, that dude was awesome. He was in a ton of shit.
Yeah, and he just had an amazing look. I was really
he played very weird characters, very awesome characters. I mean, people probably remember most from Alien.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
But, I love this guy.
So I was bummed.
Yeah, he was pretty old. How he was like in his 90s or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a really good run. 90s is a good age to kind of move on, as it were.
Yeah, that's definitely a win.
And remaking movies into television, one that might actually work, L.A. Confidential is the latest movie to get a TV adaptation. This is the only one out of any of the ones we talked about today that I actually think may have a shot. If you've never seen L.A. Confidential, you've got to see it. It has one of the best casts in the history of movies. But I think the time is the reason why it would be so good versus the story.
Well, you got Law and Order petering out. Blue Bloods just finished, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah. But this would be a period piece. I don't remember the time. I think it was in the 40s.
Oh, the first one?
Classic noir kind of stuff. You know, like when the valley was absolutely nothing.
And Hollywood,
the only thing that was out there was like one movie studio.
And Hollywood was
when Hollywood got snow.
You know, when Hollywood was Hollywood. Now this is this is CBS is talking to bring the series. I actually think this could be a major hit, but just because
this
the 40s
has some
or
potential.
30s. Yeah, I think. But do you think it's the time period?
Because it is the time period, but that's why the first movie worked. I mean, yeah, it was an amazing ensemble cast, but it doesn't matter. Those were you know, like just the archetypes for those characters, and it was just people you recognize. You can definitely recreate that.
I really hope Danny DeVito's in this, because I would love to see Danny DeVito be the one person who from the movie comes in this, just because I think it'd be awesome.
Danny DeVito's pretty old now. Is he like almost 80?
He's not that old.
He's 60s at least.
No, he's got to be pretty old now.
Oh, he might even be 70s.
He looks really good in Sunny. Was it Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, never thought I'd hear anybody say Danny DeVito looks good in that show.
Looks good at any point.
Well, considering
he looks like a caveman in that show.
Well, yeah, I mean, he does kind of look like the troll from the story 3 Billy Goats Gruff, but...
So, 72.
He looks really good for 72. Still looks like a troll.
You want his number?
Jeff Bridges wants Starman 2 to happen, and the rest of the world went, what
Why?
Movie?
What?
Yeah. I mean, I, the three of us might have been the only people who have seen Starman out of everybody I know.
I'm just like, who's calling for this?
Apparently
he's writing you and saying you want Starman.
I think he's the one who's calling for it. I couldn't tell you. I don't understand it, but I do think it's hilarious. A movie that people didn't watch in the 80s, at least if I remember correctly, because I saw it in the 90s and everybody I ask about it
was like,
huh?
At the Dollar Theater when it came out.
So what do you think, Ryan? Are you calling for a Starman too?
Well, I'll tell you what, you might even have to scratch me off the people you know who've seen that. I've never seen the original Starman.
Wow, so have you seen it? So, okay, so 2 out of 3. This is how fucking obscure that movie
is. I'm just actually wondering if there was anybody else besides him in there that actually did anything with their lives. I'm just seriously asking. I mean, I'm looking at the cast
That's what's her name from Indiana Jones.
Really, what has she done in the past 20 years?
She hasn't, career wise, she hasn't done much. She's probably done.
Well, is she still alive? Yeah, she's still alive.
She's still alive.
Yeah, she's 65.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that next week's movie is to be announced.
I thought we were doing Dunkirk.
Are we doing Dunkirk?
I thought we were, Ryan. Dunkirk?
I'm down.
Okay, next week we're doing Dunkirk. We just kind of started the show. Usually there's a little talk. James and Ryan both gave The Rocker a 3.5. I'll give it if I actually get a chance to see it at some point in time. I'll let you know. Chances are I won't. So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
¶¶